Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live. When you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265, be going to your calls in just a bit. Again, the number 888-ASK-HANK, our contact information on the web, equip.org, and via the mailbox, 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants, they are standing by, the number 888-7000, and the letters CRI. As mentioned all this month, a special resource that we want to put into your hands. It is a really great book. It's titled God's Crime Scene. A cold case detective examines the evidence for a divinely created universe. Now, many of you can probably guess why I'd be excited about a book like this. As I say so often, when you look at the issue of origins, you're not looking at just a apologetic issue, you are looking at the apologetic issue, because how one views their origins will ultimately determine how they live their life. If there is no God, everything becomes permissible. And as Alex Rosenberg, Duke University, made clear, without God, there's no right or wrong. There's no good or bad. Not only so, but there is no free will. Human beings are simply fatalistically determined by brain chemistry and genetics. Once again, the reason that I am very excited about an accessible book on origins. And this book has a unique twist. You see, God's Crime Scene isn't a work of fiction. It's written by Jim Wallace, who himself was a cold case detective. He's worked countless homicides, and he has seen firsthand the violent, the bloody realities of humanity's dark side, a side that most of us thankfully only encounter when we go to the movies. The book is engaging. It opens with Jim's firsthand account of a crime scene involving death by a gunshot to the head. But was it a suicide or was it murder? Well, of course, as you read the book, you'll learn the answer, but in the process, even more importantly, you'll also get key tips on evidence, evaluation, case construction, and how they apply to the issue of origins. You'll encounter multiple real-life crime scenes throughout the book and discover rules for wrestling with thorny and often complex issues as these scenes unfold. Again, it is a fantastic book, and it is available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and our outreaches around the world. Also wanted to mention something that was a correlation to a question I got yesterday. You might recall, if you were listening in yesterday, someone called in and said that it seems that divorce is no big deal in the church today. And I guess she was right. She was saying that she had been married 4 or 5 times, and no one even considers this to be a problem with respect to church membership. However, the same cannot be said about same-sex marriage. And so I was thinking about an article that had come out yesterday titled, "Remember When Divorce Was Immoral?" The article was written by Randall Balmer. Now, what's interesting about that is he is an Episcopal priest, and he is a professor of religion at Dartmouth College. And he says that when he was growing up within the evangelical subculture, divorce was roundly condemned. But now, no longer so. Forced to acknowledge the reality of divorce close to home, pastors have begun to respond with compassion, he says, rather than condemnation. And he goes on to say that if evangelicals can alter their attitudes towards divorce, they can do likewise with homosexuality and same-sex marriage. Time and time again throughout his ministry, writes Randall Balmer, Jesus dealt with people one-on-one and demonstrated that love always trumps law. Now, as I'm reading from this article, think about this man being a professor at a prestigious university. He is providing or presenting a narrative and in the process demonstrating that he does not have discernment skills or cannot think clearly and condignly about what he is writing. He goes on to say at the end, I invite Christians to exercise the Christian ethic of unstinting love. And then he says, should they require a proof text, allow me to suggest Matthew 7:1, judge not that ye may not be judged. Let me start with that last thing he says in the article, but he's right, it is a proof text. And as I say so often, a text out of context is a pretext, and that is precisely what this is. He must surely know that Jesus in context makes it plain that we should not judge self-righteously or hypocritically. But most certainly, Jesus does not say that we are not to judge. In fact, he is emphatic about judgment, as is the whole of Scripture, as is, by the way, common sense. We make judgments every single day. And the point that Jesus made was, when you judge, judge rightly. So think about his title. Remember when divorce was immoral? Well, the premise is it's not considered immoral now, and therefore same-sex marriage should not be considered moral either. He goes on to say that, in essence, Christians capitulated on divorce, so they ought also to capitulate on same-sex marriage. In other words, divorce is good, same-sex marriage must be better. Who thinks divorce is good? Divorce has been a blight, certainly within the Christian church and within culture in general. No one's saying divorce is good. His premise is flawed, as is the narrative. But you have to think critically about these things. And then love trumps law? Where does that come from? Is that a biblical precept? A biblical principle? I think not. Jesus always extended love and forgiveness to those who repented. That led to restoration of fellowship. The principle has always been the same in the Bible: blessings for those who repent, but cursings for those who rebel. God always extends his love to those who turn from their wicked ways. But when they do not, there is not only a consequence in this life. There is a consequence for all eternity. If you genuinely love people, you don't tell them what they want to hear. You don't simply go along with the narrative of the culture, but you stand against the tide. Randall Balmer is simply capitulating and not even doing so in a clear and consistent fashion. The tragedy is those that do not learn discernment skills will not know the difference. Again, that is one of the reasons that we exist, to teach people discernment skills so that they can discern between wheat and chaff, heat and light. And we need those skills desperately in the current culture. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone lines. Ephraim in Houston, Texas, you're up first. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, how you doing? Thank you for taking my call. My question was regarding early church fathers and like the tradition that they report, like Eusebius. I've been reading a lot of like the apostolic age and like the early church regarding Phil, disciples. I just want to know, how reliable is that tradition that like Eusebius made, that Eusebius reports on like 10 centuries later? And I'm going to hang up the phone.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I think Eusebius is certainly regarded as a great church historian, Eusebius of Caesarea, highly regarded, especially his annotated edition of church history as presented through my friend Dr. Paul Meyer. Highly regarded. And as far as the early church fathers are concerned, I think if you read them, you recognize that they're not infallible, but do they have great insights for us today? Absolutely. I have been enjoying St. Basil, for example. I was reading a series of sermons that he wrote, which were just fantastic. I think he only lived about 50 years. And yet, while he lived, he made a difference. Like Spurgeon, lived 57 years, but made an incredible impact on civilization and on the Christian mind. But yeah, I was reading him on fasting, and I thought what he had to say was some of the most significant things with respect to fasting that I have ever read. So you read a lot of what's written in current culture, and then you compare it to the wisdom of a St. Basil, and you say, wow, the Cappadocian fathers knew what they were talking about when they were writing. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Veronica next in Lakeville, Minnesota, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Veronica.
Yeah, hello.
How are you?
Good. Just pretty quick question. Maybe it's not really important, but it's important for me because they say it's important to search the scripture when you're listening to a preacher. I was wondering, because I heard on radio from Joel Osteen saying that Cain and Abel were brother twins. I never read that in Genesis. Maybe I missed the scripture somewhere. Could you comment on that, please?
Kind of interesting. Actually, Genesis chapter 4, I believe, says that Cain came first and later came Abel. So I doubt very seriously that they were twins. But, I mean, this goes along with the narrative of Joel Osteen. What he does is he tells urban legends or he twists scriptures. He's very, very good at it. In fact, become a master at torturing the text. For example, he says the Bible says that we're to call those things that are not as though they were. Of course, if you go to the scripture, you find out that that is not the case at all, that it is God, not we, who calls those things that are not as though they were. He tells stories like a railroad yardman named Nick, and he says that Nick caused his own death through a series of negative confessions. And then he extrapolates from that on people that he's known, church members and so forth, that killed themselves by their negative confessions. Well, what's the basis? He tells this long, elaborate story about how Nick froze to death in a moderate temperature of an unrefrigerated boxcar, but Nick thought it was refrigerated, and therefore, when they finally found his body, it had been frozen, and the autopsy, says Joel Osteen, revealed that he was indeed a person who had frozen to death. So while spinning legends about bees flying in outer space because of a failure to use their wings, or monkeys captured with their hands in the proverbial banana bin, truth is a consistent casualty in his teachings. And as mentioned, so is Scripture. I wrote a book about that. It's called The Osteenification of American Christianity. Coined the word because he's the biggest of the bunch. When I come back, I want to talk to Jim Wallace, author of Cold Case Christianity. Stay tuned for that.
When it comes to engaging with highly educated secularists, skeptics, and flat-out atheists, no Christian desires to enter intellectual, philosophical, and theological engagements untrained. As a way of equipping you to stand faithfully and fruitfully for Jesus Christ and biblical truth, the Christian Research Institute is offering J. Warner Wallace's book, God's Crime Scene: A Cold Case Detective Examines the Evidence for a Divinely Created Universe. To receive your copy of God's Crime Scene as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. Did God really command genocide in the Old Testament? Would a kind and loving God ever command the wholesale slaughter of nations? We often avoid reading difficult Old Testament passages that make us squeamish and quickly jump to the enemy-loving, forgiving Jesus of the New Testament. And yet, the question remains. In their book, Did God Really Command Genocide?, Doctors Paul Copan and Matthew Flanagan tackle some of the most confusing and uncomfortable passages of Scripture. Together, they help the Christian and non-believer alike understand the implications of Old Testament warfare passages, as well as address the arguments of atheists who use divine violence in the Bible to undermine belief in God. Call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches and receive Did God Really Command Genocide? Go online at equip.org. Cold Case Detective J. Warner Wallace would never allow a divine intruder to enter his life. Yet over time, something changed, and he now sees himself as a guest in the Creator's universe. Detective Wallace is not a theist because his parents believed or because he needed to fulfill a void in his life. Rather, he says, I believe God exists because the evidence leaves me no reasonable alternative. God's Crime Scene, A Cold Case Detective Examines the Evidence for a Divinely Created Universe, presents the cosmological, biological, mental, and moral cases for God. To receive God's Crime Scene as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Same-sex marriage is here. It went from unthinkable to legal at a dizzying pace. The question is, now what? Can I attend a same-sex wedding? Can my business provide services for a same-sex union ceremony? What if a person in a gay marriage becomes a Christian? If you haven't encountered these questions yet, stay tuned. Given the current reality shift, you're likely to. Get well-reasoned answers to these and other questions in CRI's Same-Sex Marriage Resource Package, which includes the book Same-Sex Marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stonestreet, and a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring articles by Hank Hanegraaff and Joe Dallas. To receive the Same-Sex Marriage Resource Package as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. G.K. Chesterton said, "There are only two kinds of people, those who accept dogma and know it, and those who accept dogma and don't know it." Truth is, we must never surrender critical thought to dogmas of our age, whether scientific or religious, especially with respect to the dogmas of naturalistic evolution. God's Crime Scene, a new book by J. Warner Wallace, presents cosmological, biological, mental, and moral evidence not only to refute naturalistic evolutionary dogma, but to establish beyond reasonable doubt that God exists. Receive God's Crime Scene. A cold case detective examines the evidence for a divinely created universe as our thank you for supporting CRI's life-changing outreaches by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Jim Wallace has been featured repeatedly on Dateline, Fox News, Court TV. He's a member of a three-generation law enforcement family, and he and his wife have four children and live where we used to live, or in the vicinity, at least Southern California. And we were very excited when he wrote the book, God's Crime Scene. And now it is available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and our outreaches around the world. About the book, I say Sherlock Holmes has nothing on Jim Wallace. In God's Crime Scene, Wallace uses the tools of a world-class homicide detective to discern whether or not clues point in the direction of a divine intruder. The reader can almost hear the words, "Elementary, my dear Watson," as Wallace evaluates the evidence for cosmic design. This is a highly readable resource by which skeptics and seekers alike can follow truth towards its origin. And again, the reason that I'm excited about a book on origins, particularly with a novel bent, although it's not a novel, is because the issue of origins is surpassingly important. I mentioned this at the outset of the broadcast, but there are so many today who are suggesting that atheism is the answer, that there is no difference between right, wrong, good, bad. We don't need to be moral because it only makes you feel better. And ultimately, anything is permissible in a universe without a God. Again, there are so many reasons why we need to become expert on this issue. And that, once again, is why I want to put this book into your hands. You can get your copy on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Jim Wallace, welcome to the broadcast.
Wow, thanks so much for having me, Hank. I can tell you, we've never talked before, but I am a huge... Before we even begin, can I just give you a shameless plug for what you've been doing for years and years and years there? You know, I was an atheist and a very committed one until I was about 35 years old. And at the time, I was working as a detective, and I was working in an undercover position where I was a part of a surveillance team. And I was really starting to examine the Gospels as eyewitness accounts. I was getting very interested in them. And I was in my car about 12 hours a day. We were watching guys who would plan to do robberies. And we were doing this every day. And my mates, you know, my partners, they all knew that I was a very committed atheist. I was the kind of guy who would make fun of the Christians that we would take to jail, or the Christians who were in our agency, the few that were there. And I would always mock these guys. And so they knew I was a pretty committed atheist. But they started to see a change in my nature as I started to investigate the case. And I was somewhere in that process of investigating it when I stumbled upon your show. This is about 1996, I would say.
Oh, wow.
And so I would sit in my car, and it was 3 o'clock in Los Angeles. That's when the show would come on the air. And every day, I don't care where we were in the surveillance, hopefully we weren't moving, we were sitting and watching somebody, I could turn on that radio show. And one day, I was listening to your show, and I had all my stuff out. I had my Bible, I had commentaries, I had research books, I had all, you know, just a ton of literature. I was just really digging through the material. And I was listening to your show and making notes, and I was so engrossed. I was sitting in a parking lot. We were on a surveillance, and I was on the perimeter of the surveillance. And a partner of mine, who had kind of seen this change in my nature, snuck up on me. And I wasn't paying attention. I should have been. You know, it's not very safe to not be paying attention to your surroundings. But I was so engrossed in your show. And this guy walked up on me, and then he saw that I had a Bible in my lap, and I was listening to your show, and he said, "I knew it. I knew something was changing in you. Don't tell me now you're going to be a Christian." And I remember it took, you know, probably about 6 months for me to go through this process, but I'll never forget it. And I've always wanted to talk to you about that, because your show, for people like me, who were kind of going through this process of investigating it, I never realized that there was a number of Christians, a form of Christianity that could be thoughtful and well-reasoned and could actually address the issues that were problematic for me. And discovering your show made a huge difference, and I never missed it. I mean, it was really important to me to listen to that show, because I was just really wanted to dig through. And here you were answering the very questions that I had in my own head, because callers would call in and, you know, pose these questions. And it was just a huge influence on my life. So people who are listening, and I know there are just people like me out there right now who are listening to this and kind of, you know, sorting through the issues. If you'd talked to me a year before I became a Christian, even a week before I actually started attending a church, you'd have said, "No way will Jim Wallace ever be a Christian." But it's shows like yours, Hank, that actually help this process for skeptics like me who need to know, is there a good reason to believe this is true? So I just want to encourage you. And boy, I can't imagine that all these years later, 18 years later, we're now talking on the same on the phone, and we're actually, your work, your contributions to God's crime scene, when I sent you the manuscript, and you and Stephen sent back a ton of you know, ideas and things to think about, and I spent probably 2 days incorporating those ideas into the book. So to be able to partner with you in some way on this, to me, is just a great joy. So I wanted to say thank you. I believe it was a great, big deal in my life, and I'm sure it is for lots of others, too.
Well, I just don't know what to say. I'm speechless. But let's talk about the book. I deeply appreciate it, by the way. You are a cold case homicide investigator. Explain exactly what that is to those who might not be familiar with what happens when a case grows cold.
Sure. I mean, most cases, all kinds of crimes, there's a statute of limitations for crimes. So if you do a robbery or a burglary, there's a period of time after which I can't come after you because it's expired. But this is not the case for murders. Murders stay open. They never close. There's no statute of limitations. So I'm actually able to open cases, and my agency, when I first started doing this, had about 30 to 35 of these old unsolved murders that I thought those 30 to 35 had some things I could kind of play with, I could work with, had some possibilities. And so I started to kind of look at those, and we systematically went through each case. And what we do is we take a look at old documents, basically supplemental reports taken by detectives back in the 70s and 80s from eyewitnesses who are, some of them are not even here anymore. The eyewitnesses have died. And even some of the investigators have died. So here you have this set of documents in which both the reporter and the eyewitness are no longer available to me. What does that sound like? This sounds like the Gospels. And so that's the same techniques that I've used for years in kind of mining through these old supplemental reports to get to the truth of what really happened. I just applied to the Gospels as a new investigator, kind of as a new seeker. And that's why, like I said, you know, your show was so helpful. But that's exactly what we do as cold case detectives.
And so you had this idea as a believer, someone who had grown in faith and knowledge, to take your skills as a cold case homicide investigator and then apply them in the process of thinking through the issue of origins.
Yeah, exactly. As a matter of fact, a lot of this was just a kind of reflection of what I had to go through 18 years ago before I could be certain that I was stepping in the right direction. So yeah, this is, I mean, what I hope to do in God's Crime Scene is to not only give you, here's the data points, here's the evidence, but how do we think clearly about evidence when we make a case toward a particular conclusion? How do we determine the best inference from evidence? So I'm trying to give you a skill set as well as not just the facts. You know, I want to give you a way of thinking about the facts.
And one of the things that I want to get highlighted in this segment, we'll be talking to Jim for the rest of the show. One of the things I want to highlight here is the importance of this issue, particularly for an upcoming generation.
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I think that this generation between, say, 15 and 30 is probably the most critically important generation in the church right now. I mean, you and I, Hank, we can pick our, we often do pick our friends, we pick our associates, we pick who we go to dinner with, we pick who we hang out with. But when you're in that age group where you're starting to go into the university systems, you don't get to pick necessarily the people who are going to be in your classrooms, the professors who are going to be teaching you, the worldview you're going to be surrounded by. So now you're in a vulnerable position, and if we don't help our students, our young people, know, see the landscape, both from our perspective and from the other perspective, and know what's strong and weak on our side and what's strong and weak on that side, we haven't done them a service. And so what we're trying to do with this book is to provide a resource. Here's the case from in this very neutral way. You can kind of tell my tone in the book is very neutral. I want to give you the case as plain as I can, just the facts, ma'am. You know, Joe Friday, here you go. And then the students then can have a resource that they can actually refer back to when they start to hear the challenges, which they inevitably will.
We're talking to Jim Wallace. He is a cold case homicide detective. As mentioned, he's a popular national speaker. He's appeared on all kinds of television shows. And now he's written a book that's very, very accessible. And as we just mentioned, very important, particularly for youth who are coming up and are now encountering professors who are telling them that there is no right or wrong. There is no good or bad, their lives are just a function of dumb luck. Now, is that hyperbole? No. I have been referring to Dr. Alex Rosenberg. He is the R. Taylor Cole Professor. He is the chair, think about that, the chair of the philosophy department at Duke University. He's the co-director of the Duke Center for Philosophy of Biology. And he's telling people in The Atheist's Guide to Reality that you can enjoy life without any illusions. And part of that enjoyment is the unmitigated truth, from his perspective, that this life means nothing. And therefore, whatever you do is of little consequence in the big picture as long as it brings you pleasure and enjoyment. I mean, this is not fiction. This is what kids are encountering. And that's why it is so critical that we have an accessible book which leads you to the truth with respect to origins. Many of you know my testimony. I, too, at one point in my life, for many years as a youth, believed there was no God. And that led to all kinds of difficulties. Life changed dramatically when I not only realized that there is a God, but that we are accountable to Him. Again, why I am so excited about this book. It is accessible. It is readable. I mean, it's just unique. It's a fantastic resource. Get your copy for your gift on the web, equip.org. You can also order via the mailbox, 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or just pick up the phone, talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. We're going to be right back with Jim Wallace. More questions and answers as we talk about this incredible resource. You don't want to miss it. Equip.org. Check it out.
G.K. Chesterton remarked, "It is absurd for the evolutionist to complain that it is unthinkable for an admittedly unthinkable God to make everything out of nothing, and then pretend that it is more thinkable that nothing should turn itself into everything. It is pure folly to embrace atheism's dogma of evolutionary naturalism. There is, however, an alternative to atheism. The book, God's Crime Scene by J. Warner Wallace, examines evidence for belief in a divinely created universe. To receive your copy of God's Crime Scene, a cold case detective examines the evidence for a divinely created universe as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll be right back with Hank Hanegraaff after this. The fast-growing acceptance of same-sex marriage is comparable to a massive cultural earthquake and resulting tsunami that rearranges the social landscape. It may well be the most significant social revolution in human history, but there is also a promise. If things can change this fast in one direction, they can change just as fast in another. CRI's special offer of Same-Sex Marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stonestreet and a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring articles on same-sex sexuality and transgender issues from Hank Hanegraaff and Joe Dallas will help you stand for biblical life and truth. To receive the Same-Sex Marriage book and journal special offer as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or simply visit equip.org. Because life and truth are under attack by secularists who deem the Bible nothing more than primitive superstitions and fairy tales, Christians are called to give reasons for what and why they believe to highly educated skeptics and atheists. Wisdom, however, warns against engaging in a defense of the one true faith without adequate training and preparation. The book by J. Warner Wallace, God's Crime Scene, A Cold Case Detective Examines the Evidence for a Divinely Created Universe, will equip you to present and defend the arguments and evidence for God's existence. To receive God's Crime Scene as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Did God really command genocide in the Old Testament? Would a kind and loving God ever command the wholesale slaughter of nations? We often avoid reading difficult Old Testament passages that make us squeamish and quickly jump to the enemy-loving, forgiving Jesus of the New Testament. And yet, the question remains. In their book, Did God Really Command Genocide? Doctors Paul Copan and Matthew Flanagan tackle some of the most confusing and uncomfortable passages of Scripture. Together, they help the Christian and non-believer alike understand the implications of Old Testament warfare passages, as well as address the arguments of atheists who use divine violence in the Bible to undermine belief in God. Call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches and receive Did God Really Command Genocide? Go online at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff says Sherlock Holmes has nothing on J. Warner Wallace. In his new book, God's Crime Scene, A Cold Case Detective Examines the Evidence for a Divinely Created Universe, Wallace uses the tools of a world-class homicide detective to discern whether or not clues point in the direction of a divine intruder. The reader can almost hear the words, "Elementary, my dear Watson," as Wallace evaluates the powerful evidence for cosmic design. To receive your copy of God's Crime Scene as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. And now, let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And again, we're talking to Jim Wallace. He is the author of God's Crime Scene, A Cold Case Detective Examines the Evidence for a Divinely Created Universe. And Jim, I think what's really cool about the book is you can sit back and you are the jury. The evidence is being presented and you get to make the decision as to whether that is compelling evidence or not.
Absolutely. And I think sometimes we think that we have to be experts in these fields before we can even begin to assess this evidence. And you know, in criminal trials, I often will call expert witnesses. You can't often do a trial without expert witnesses. But in the end, the people who get to make a decision are the jurors. And we were intentionally not put experts in these particular fields in the jury box. In the jury box, we want people who are smart, passionate, interested, but we don't want experts because sometimes our pride will puff us up and you'll make a decision against, you know, the best inference because you get prideful about your knowledge. So we're looking for people who are open, unbiased, passionate, but you don't have to be an expert. And that's why I want to kind of convey in this book, because, you know, most of the time when we read this kind of material, Hank, it's tough. I mean, it can be really heady. And we're trying to get a resource that is, we're going to ask you to raise the bar, but we want to get you there in a way. We want to throw the ball across the center of the plate so you can catch it, you know, rather than, you know, we're not trying to throw fastballs that are impossible to swing at.
And you have a lot of illustrations in the book. Obviously, a big believer, as you'd show a jury illustrations, you want to do the same thing throughout your book.
Yeah, you know, I actually, before I became a police officer, my dad was a cop for years before I joined the force, and I actually pursued the arts, and so my bachelor's degree is in design, my master's degree is in architecture, and so my whole background was in the arts, and so it turns out all these years later, we started to kind of use this approach, I think a very visual approach with juries, and so a lot of that kind of thinking about how you make a case in front of a jury visually is the stuff we tried to do in this book. So I got the chance to actually do my own illustrations to kind of bring the ideas to life.
So we've talked about this, but you're a cold case homicide investigator by profession, and I want you to underscore the correlation now between the tools of the trade, so to speak, in investigating a crime scene and those needed to investigate the origins of the universe.
This is my simple approach in this book. It's the same approach I take at death scenes. We get called to death scenes all the time. Not all of them are criminal. When we go, sometimes we're dispatched to what's called a DVR, a dead body report. So you don't know what the cause of the death was. You get there and you've got, you know, one of four options because there's only four ways to die. You know, you either have a natural, an accidental, a suicide, or a homicide. And how we determine whether it's a natural, accidental, or a suicide, which we're not going to get involved with, we want to know if it's a homicide. And how we determine which of these four it is really quite simple. It's a little game I call inside or outside the room. And we simply ask the question, can I account for all the evidence inside this room by staying inside the room? If I can, more than likely this is not a homicide. So, for example, if I've got a gunshot injury and I've got a pistol in the room, but I've got the doors are all locked up and the only fingerprints and DNA I have in the room belong to the victim and even the gun belongs to the victim, well, then it's a suicide. I've got no sign of an intruder. So I can explain all the evidence in the room by staying in the room. Now, on the other hand, if that gun's not his and there's fingerprints on that gun that don't belong to him at all and there's DNA that's foreign in the room and I've got bloody footprints leading out the door, well, now I can't explain those things by staying in the room. I have to go outside the room for an explanation of those facts. And now I've got to consider that this is no longer just a death scene. It's a crime scene because I can only get the explanation by going outside the room. So the question I have for the universe is, if we were to treat the universe in a similar way and ask the simple question, can I explain all the evidence I find in the room of the universe by staying in the room of the universe, well, then I can use naturalism as sufficient. I don't need to think about an intruder at all. But if the evidence cannot be explained by staying in the room and is best explained by going outside the room, well, now I've got to consider an intruder. And that's why I would call this book the God's Crime Scene, not to suggest that God is guilty of anything or is culpable for anything, but just to suggest that we could look at the universe the same way we look at death scenes to determine if we've got an intruder.
Talking to Jay Warner Wallace, he's a former atheist, and as just mentioned, he's a seasoned cold case detective, author of a book I want to put into your hands, God's Crime Scene. Excuse me, you can get your copy on the web at equip.org, or when you write me, at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also talk to our resource consultants who are standing by as we speak, the number 888-7000 and the letter CRI. I want to back up a little bit. You have become a committed believer. You were formerly a committed atheist. Talk about the difference it's made in every dimension of your life.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I was one of those guys who would have said that meaning is whatever ideas determine. It's, you know, ideas have consequences. And we talk about this all the time, right? You talk about how young people, what's the challenge for young people? I didn't face the challenge very well. I mean, if you could have given me an alternative worldview that would account for origins without using the existence of God as a descriptor, without having to go to the Bible for an answer. And it would allow me to understand how we got here and what the issues are and how we can solve them and how what the role of evolution has been and how we changed over time. And this worldview would also allow me to chase my passions without any concern for anyone else. Well, then tell you what, I'm going to pick that worldview because there's three things happening, I think, at the college setting. One, we have underprepared young Christian students who are going to college, and they're in a hostile environment, which is really not good for them in terms of holding on to their Christian worldview. And then three, they are fallen humans who want to chase their passions. And that's why if there's an alternative view out there that will allow them to do that comfortably without having any guilt about it, without thinking about the consequences, well, then, of course, they're going to adopt that worldview. And that was my life for all those years. And I would have said, even though I was a police officer and I felt like I was doing a noble work, I made my own rules in terms of what I thought was good or bad. And I never, and I think this is true, Hank, for a lot of police officers. It's hard for us to submit to other authority. We typically, when we walk in a room professionally, we are the authority that others submit to. So it's hard for us to kind of learn to bend our knee to something bigger than us. And so it took quite some time for me to actually consider that there was something more authoritative than my own thoughts about life.
It seems interesting, and actually there seems to be a corollary here. When you're a cold case homicide investigator, sort of like looking for a needle in a haystack, and I think the same thing is true when you're living life without a divine intruder, without a God. What happens in life or the course of your life, it always seems like you're looking for that needle in a haystack. But when Christ comes into your life, demonstrating that he's the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence, everything seems to fall into place.
Well, look, exactly. As a police officer, I embraced this notion that there were objective moral truths that I wanted to enforce by way of law. But how in the world could I account for such things? And when you actually know where these things come from, and you realize that there are personal obligations that require persons, and then you learn who that person is, it changes everything. If you never knew who your father was, and then someday you get to meet your father and kind of learn about what your father's life's been like, and you start to see why your life's been a certain way, you start to see things about yourself that you understand now in virtue of the fact that you now know who your father is. And I think that the same thing happens for us when we actually learn. And I'm a very, very thoughtful person about this. I mean, I was not somebody who would trust my own experiences, trust my own emotional experiences. I was somebody who was skeptical about those kinds of things. But I can tell you, once I knew that I had good reason to believe this was true, I was willing to lay down my arms. I was willing to lay down the walls that I had built up between me and anything. And I can tell you my relationships changed with people. This is not why I became a Christian. This is not what drove me. But I can tell you, as a consequence of this investigation, when I got to the place where I was confident, everything changed. My wife will tell you that she thought of it as a miracle. She never, there's no way. We were together for 18 years before either of us became Christians. So for her to see this transformation, she couldn't believe it. And I think this is why my partners were getting suspicious, and they started to see the way I was interacting with people was changing, and my heart was softening, and they started to see some of this, and they kind of were suspicious that something was going on.
Jim, this ministry, one of the core values is apologetics, also biblical literacy, countering the cults, and so forth. But when you think about apologetics, it's sort of a big word. It's kind of a heady word. But we're talking about always being ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. But it's not about demonstrating intellectual acumen as much as it is about winning someone to the same Christ that you have come to adore and worship. Talk about apologetics from that standpoint and how your book feeds into a relationship with the living God.
Yeah, I think there was a message of the gospel that I simply could not hear for years because I had constructed walls with my own objections. And so what we do now with a book like this, and it was so helpful for me with a show like yours, was it helped me to kind of knock down the walls that stood between me and just hearing the simple truth of the gospel. So it wasn't that I'm enamored with apologetics or enamored with this case. I simply needed something to help me to remove the barriers between me and the simplest presentation possible. And so I think this is what we try to do with books like this, is we do things. Number one, if there are people out there who have these objections and they can't hear the good news, and it just sounds like a joke to them, well, this is the kind of book I hope that will at least kind of get them on a level playing field so they can hear the gospel. But for those of us who are already Christians, trust me, we're going to have to encounter these issues with others. And the more you know, and I always kind of make this analogy, you know, we use bulletproof vests in our profession, and the reason why we wear them is because we've seen them in action in the range. We fire rounds at them. They stop rounds. So when we go in the field, we can stand tall in terrible situations because we know, hey, if nothing else, we're wearing our bulletproof vest, and we've seen how it stops rounds. So what we're trying to do with books like God's Crime Scene is help Christians see that this vest called Christianity stops rounds. And so you can have confidence to wear it, to not shrink from conversations, to not run or hit the deck when something bad happens. You're actually able to stand tall. And because you know that it's true, you now can trust in this in a crisis. And that's why I think it's so important to have resources like this.
We're going to have J. Warner Wallace back on the broadcast numerous times this month. Again, the book examines 8 critical pieces of evidence in the crime scene of the universe to determine if they point to a divine intruder. If you've ever wondered if something or someone outside the natural realm created the universe and everything in it, this is the book for you. Again, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can find it on the web at equip.org. Jim, good to have you on the broadcast. Thanks for your encouragement.
I'm indebted to you, Hank. Thanks so much for having me.
God bless you. And again, we'll have Jim Wallace back on the broadcast later on this month. The book, available on the web, as just mentioned, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants, they are standing by. The number 888-7000 and the letter CRI. By the way, when you go to the web, please give generously. This is July. The summer months are tough. We've just finished our fiscal year, and now we're starting a new fiscal year. Please help us stay on top of things from a financial standpoint. The gospel's free. Someone has to put in the plumbing. Might as well be you.
The new book, God's Crime Scene, by cold case detective J. Warner Wallace, examines the cosmological, biological, mental, and moral evidence that identifies the creator and landlord of the universe in which we live. In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the mind-shaping ministries of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you this powerful resource. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Same-sex marriage is here. It went from unthinkable to legal at a dizzying pace. The question is, now what? Can I attend a same-sex wedding? Can my business provide services for a same-sex union ceremony? What if a person in a gay marriage becomes a Christian? If you haven't encountered these questions yet, stay tuned. Given the current reality shift, you're likely to. Get well-reasoned answers to these and other questions in CRI's Same-Sex Marriage Resource Package, which includes the book Same-Sex Marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stonestreet, and a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring articles by Hank Hanegraaff and Joe Dallas. To receive the Same-Sex Marriage Resource Package as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Cold case detective J. Warner Wallace would never allow a divine intruder to enter his life. Yet over time, something changed, and he now sees himself as a guest in the Creator's universe. Detective Wallace is not a theist because his parents believed or because he needed to fulfill a void in his life. Rather, he says, I believe God exists because the evidence leaves me no reasonable alternative. God's Crime Scene, a cold case detective examines the evidence for a divinely created universe, presents the cosmological, biological, mental, and moral cases for God. To receive God's Crime Scene as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org.